Some of these expectations will have religious overtones. A young wife said, "I found out that when we spend the weekend with his parents, they expect us to go to the synagogue with them on Friday nights, even though both of us are Christians. I feel very uncomfortable, but I don't want to hurt their feelings. I'm wondering if, when they come to visit us, they will go to church with us on Sunday." Her husband said, "When we go to visit her parents for a weekend, they expect me to wear a suit when I go to church with them on Sunday morning. We attend a contemporary church, and I only have one suit that I bought for my grandmother's funeral 5 years ago. I feel uncomfortable wearing it." Each of your in-laws may also have patterns of behavior that you find irritating or troublesome. You may discover that your father-in-law goes out with the boys every Thursday night and normally comes home intoxicated and verbally abuses his wife. Your mother-in-law tells your wife about this behavior. She tells you. You wish there was something you could do, but you feel helpless. You are troubled by your father-in-law's behavior, but you are also irritated that every time your wife talks to her mother, she brings up the topic, and your wife gets upset. Megan had been married only 5 months when she said in the counseling office, "My mother-in-law is the most organized woman I know. You should see her closets. Every shoe is in the right place, and all of her dresses are color-coordinated. The problem is, I'm not very organized, and when she comes to our apartment, she tries to give me suggestions that she thinks will make my life easier. I'm sorry, but that's just not who I am. Besides that, I don't have time to keep everything organized." Your in-laws may also have strongly held religious beliefs that differ from yours. One young husband said, "Every time I'm around her father, it's like he's trying to convert me to his brand of Christianity. I am a Christian, but I am not as dogmatic and pushy as he is. I think religion is a personal matter, and I resent him trying to pressure me to agree with him." Suzanne, who grew up in a Lutheran home, said, "His folks are Baptist and are constantly talking about my getting baptized. I was baptized as a baby, and I don't feel any need to be re-baptized. They act like it is a big deal. I don't get it." Learning to listen. In these and numerous other areas, you will discover that your in-laws are individuals who have unique thoughts, feelings, and desires. These may differ from your own thoughts, feelings, and desires. So how do you build a positive relationship with your in-laws? I want to suggest that the process begins by learning to listen empathetically. By empathetic listening, I mean listening with a view to understanding what your in-laws think, how they came to that conclusion, and how strongly they feel about it. By nature, most of us are not good listeners. We often listen long enough to give a rebuttal, and we end up in needless arguments. Empathetic listening holds judgment until you are certain that you understand what the other person is saying. This involves asking clarifying questions, such as, "What I understand you to be saying is that correct?" Or, "It sounds like you are asking me to... Is that what you want?" Once you have listened long enough to clearly understand what they are saying and how strongly they feel about it, you are then free to give your perspective on the subject. Because you have listened to them without condemnation, they are far more likely to hear your honest perspective. Empathetic listening does not require you to agree with the other person's ideas, but it does require you to treat them and their ideas with respect. If you respect their ideas and speak to them with kindness, they are far more likely to respect your ideas and treat you kindly. Mutual understanding and mutual respect grows out of empathetic listening. When communicating with in-laws, always speak for yourself. Instead of saying, "You hurt my feelings when you said that," you might say, "I felt hurt when I heard you say that." When you start your sentence with "I," you are giving your perspective. When you begin your sentence with "you," you are placing blame and will likely experience a defensive response from your in-laws. The husband who says, "I feel frustrated when Kimberly tells me that every time you talk, you mention your husband's problem with alcohol and verbal abuse. I'm wondering if you want us to do something, and if so, what do you think we could do?" will likely open the door to a meaningful conversation. Learning to negotiate. The third ingredient to having good relationships with your in-laws is learning to negotiate differences. Negotiation begins by someone making a proposal. Jeremy said to his wife's parents, I know that you would like for us to be here for Christmas Day and celebrate with the family. My parents, of course, have the same desire. But you are 500 miles apart. We know that we can't be at both places on the same day. I'm wondering about alternating between Thanksgiving and Christmas. We could be with you guys this Christmas and with my folks on Thanksgiving, and next year we would reverse the order. I'm just trying to find something that will work for both families. Jeremy has made a proposal. Now his in-laws have the opportunity to accept the proposal, or to modify the proposal, or to make a different proposal of their own. It is the process of listening and respecting each other's ideas that allows the process of negotiation to go forward. Eventually, you reach a solution that everyone can agree with, and the relationship with your in-laws is strengthened. Differences regarding holidays, traditions, expectations, patterns of behavior, and religion all call for negotiation. The ancient Hebrew scriptures observed how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity.